Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
With your host.
And I already mentioned this, but I think we should have come up with a cool tag team name by now. But you've been turning a lot of things down. You've been turning down a lot of things. You turned down Sambros.
I've been open to everything.
You turned down Ska Madness. Yeah, I know you said you like the Beef Eaters. I told you I don't drink gin. All right?
Yeah, first of all, you already know our team name tonight is the Rough Riders.
The Rough Riders doesn't work. It doesn't. It's too sexual.
You set your door.
It's very suggestive.
Set your door.
Very,
you know, suggestive.
Take your stupid head off and let's go beat these guys. All right.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God! It's Taker. 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 Does Taker hate me? Oh my God! It's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our good friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. A big shout-out to everybody over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and to everybody listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and Gerwick.net. Hello! Thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, as my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I am here. I am here. And tonight is hashtag winners wear teal. Just as for Lone Jobber, because he's big into the Sharks. They're currently winning Game 5 of the Stanley Cup. So, hashtag winners wear teal. The thing.
Go hockey.
Go hockey, go.
That's the one with the puck, right?
That's the one with the puck, yes.
And the throwing fish and seafood.
Yeah, that would be the one. That would be the one. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, at Lynn's Ward, at Rack Radio Show as well. It's a thing. We're all over social medias, that whole thing.
Seems like such a waste of good seafood. I'm sorry, I don't eat seafood personally, I think it's disgusting, but it seems like a waste of it to just throw it on a hockey rink. It's just like, especially the squid, or the octopus. I think it's the octopus that like some team throws on the ice. Like, who just takes an octopus to a hockey game specifically to throw on the ice?
People.
I guess it's good since apparently the octopuses are going to take over the world and we're all going to die in some, like, tentacly horrible death. So it might be a good thing. Who knows? It's if you believe all the stories you read on Yahoo. Anyway!
Who believes things on Yahoo? What's a Yahoo?
Yahoo!
Yahoo!
We have a ton, and I mean a ton of stuff to get into tonight. We're so sorry in advance. We have a lot of news. We will be talking about Brock Lesnar. We're going to be talking about some other news and notes that happened this week. So we apologize in advance because there's a lot. And we'll also be talking NXT TakeOver because that happened last night. Holy crap.
Holy crap. And we'll get into that at the end of the program.
Yes, but now we are going to jump into the biggest news story of the week brought to you by our good friends over at Gerwick.net. And that is the announcement Yes, it was rumored, it got leaked, people got in trouble, and almost banned, or actually banned and then unbanned, for leaking this story. But it was announced earlier this week that Brock Lesnar will be returning to the UFC for UFC 200, where he will be facing Mark Hunt. This is an unprecedented move. Never happened before, probably will never happen again, but Dana White and Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar have all come to an agreement for Brock to appear on the show. This is huge.
This is a massive, massive story, and it's fascinated me all week long. Like
It has. He's, like, followed it.
I have followed every little detail of it, including the banning and unbanning and everything. So this began on Saturday, when the news broke on the night of UFC 199. Ariel Helwani, the reporter in question, reported that Brock Lesnar is in talks to return to the UFC, and we all sat here going, what? How? Why? Who? What? When?
Well, yeah, and it was like, you sit here and you go, well, is Brock's contract up? No, Brock's contract can't be up, because he re-signed at Mania.
He signed at Mania 31, so he's a year and a half into what was a multi-year deal, and everyone, from all accounts, it was 3 years, probably with options to continue on after that point. So it wasn't that, and we just sit here, and we find all the facts, and it's like, okay, he's going to do a thing, then the UFC event happens, and there's a big promo, Brock appears at the end of it, can you hear me now, and he's in his Ultimate Fighting gear, including the Reebok shorts, so he's branded, so it's not just footage from past, this is new footage. They have a Brock Lesnar, so he's a thing, he's in there. And then it leads to, so, he's still under contract. WWE would put out a statement later that night that Brock Lesnar would be appearing at UFC 200, and he'll be returning to WWE for SummerSlam on August 20th, so that's official, he is at SummerSlam, maybe. The maybe is because if he gets hurt in this fight, it could be interesting if he's able to actually wrestle on August 20th. So tentatively scheduled Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Brock's fight at 200 is about 5 weeks before SummerSlam, and he has to get cleared by the state commission to wrestle at SummerSlam. So if he is not physically fit come August, WWE is in a lot of trouble.
He could get knocked out and suffer a concussion, which could just screw everything up, because we know how concussions are. We just saw one with Enzo Moore, we've seen one with Daniel Bryan. Two ends of the spectrum, but there, it's all in play right there.
Yeah, this is a huge money deal. Brock, SportsCenter, where he was well coached, so whoever did that, bravo on that. Well done. And where he disclose how much he's making on this deal, but there's a lot of zeros involved. Wouldn't be surprised if there's some money going back and forth between Dana White and Vince McMahon on this. But the flip side to this is that Dana and UFC, in exchange for Brock Lesnar at 200, will be promoting SummerSlam.
That appears to be the case. They'll be promoting SummerSlam probably the night before, which is going to be a very interesting night, to say the least, because that would be UFC 202, which is Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz 2, and the possible debut of CM Punk.
Is it wrong? That makes me laugh. But
it's funny.
UFC is sponsoring WWE SummerSlam the weekend that Punk debuts. It's just hilarious.
It's just very, very fitting.
I have to laugh because when this got announced, Brock's opponent had not been announced.
No.
It was just Brock Lesnar was coming back to fight at 200. Nobody knew who he was facing, and of course, immediately everybody was like, put him against Punk! Put him against Punk!
Just so people are aware, no athletic commission would ever sanction that fight in the UFC.
Yeah, nobody would ever sanction that fight. That doesn't mean we all don't want to see it! Because
no.
I actually would pay to see that because I was one of those people. It's like, put him against Punk. I want to see a legit fight between those two.
That would be great.
I do. I want to see that.
That would be great, but I don't see that ever happening.
Oh, nobody would ever sanction the fight.
No.
Nobody would ever do it. Unless Punk gains a massive amount of weight, which he won't do, or Brock loses a massive amount of weight, nobody will ever sanction that fight. It's so funny that, you know, everybody's mind just immediately went to Brock Lesnar and CM Punk. And the joke was that it's like, oh, Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. D's even in UFC facing Brock Lesnar. CM Punk can't close the show.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Horrible people.
The internet. We love the internet. The internet is the awesome, awesome place. Now, apparently, at one point, it was... Brock is the one... First, I was talking about sports in an interview. Brock is the one who reached out and made this all happen. He had the itch. He wanted to fight one more time. We all kind of knew he wanted to fight one more time. Going all the way back to WrestleMania 31 when he was in talks with WWE about possibly, you know, not resigning after that show. So you knew he always had the edge. And it was all a matter of when can he scratch it. Well, he chose this summer to scratch it and getting him back on the biggest show UFC will have for the next couple of years because it's 200. He was on 100. They did monster numbers. They will probably break it for 200, because it's 200, all big numbers always break a thing.
And also, you have a lot. You have Brock Lesnar coming out of retirement. There are a lot of people that will be very curious about Brock coming out of retirement because he's been more trained for wrestling now, as opposed to being a UFC fighter, and it's a completely different discipline. You have to do completely different things. You have to train a certain way. You have to do all of that stuff to get in shape for fighting. Brock himself admitted that on SportsCenter, and so it's, people are, I think, are going to be very curious to see how Brock looks, how he fights, because it's too, Brock is more of a grappler, and Hunt is more of a fighter, I believe.
Striker. We'll go with the word striker.
Striker. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. So it's two sort of different sets, and yeah, I think a lot of people are curious, because I think the last guy Mark Hunt fought, didn't he break the guy's jaw?
I think so. I don't know for sure, but that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And going into this fight, Brock Lesnar will be the underdog.
Think about that for a second.
Right? Brock Lesnar, underdog. Those sentences do not usually mix. Because, again, this guy's established in the world of MMA, in UFC, and Brock Lesnar's coming back, and the dude has gone off on Brock Lesnar, calling him juiced, calling, you know, telling him not to bring his fake crap here into the real world again, and all that. Fun, happy stuff. Today, Brock got tested for the first time under the USADA drug testing policy. So the results of that will be available in about a week.
Which I find incredibly interesting, given a WWE's no doping policy, but I get it. Like, I can completely get that he has to submit for a drug test. I just find it very interesting with WWE's no doping policy that he would have to get tested, but seeing as he does not appear full-time for WWE, it would make sense that, you know, while he's at home, he could be doing steroids or any other number of things, and he just has to make sure he doesn't do them for 30 days before he goes back to do WWE to get it out of his system.
Yeah, and so, this will not be the last time he's tested. He'll be tested all the way up to the fight. So that's sort of how this works. Because he's a retired fighter, he is not under the 4-month rule that most fighters are under. When you are an active competitor in UFC or any MMA, you have to go under the testing for 4 months before your fight, but he's not in that because he's retired, so he's exempt to that rule. And there's a lot of exemptions.
Well, actually,
go ahead.
Let's get it right. The exemption is because they're treating him as a new fighter. When he was originally signed, that was not there. That 4-month rule did not exist, and he retired, I think, before it went into effect.
Yes,
and so now that it's gone into effect, they're basically just treating him like a new talent as opposed to him coming back.
Right, and the replacement talent who come in last minute for fights also are not part of that 4-month rule. So he's not, it's not just an exception for Brock, it's what they normally do.
Yeah, so, but he is getting tested, he's being monitored, he'll be tested all the way up to the fight. I want to go back to Brock needing to scratch the itch. And like you said, we all knew this was coming, where Brock is teased about going back to UFC, and I'm not 100% surprised that he's going back for one more fight, and you can tell and I think it's mostly, he got taken down by the diverticulitis, where he had to stop fighting because he was not healthy.
Correct.
And he had to get that taken care of, so he retired to get that taken care of. Well, now he's running full steam. The diverticulitis is gone. He's in the best shape of his life. And I can totally see why he wants to scratch that itch, because probably he was forced to retire before he was completely done. And he wants to see if he, you know, it's like, you need that one more thing. One more match, one more fight, one more whatever, just to see what could have been.
He doesn't want any regrets. He doesn't want any regrets on this whole thing.
No, he doesn't. And you can tell that he regrets not going back for one more fight. I mean, you can legit tell. This is what he likes to do. This is how he earns his money. He enjoys this. Not gonna judge him for that.
He enjoys hunting, fighting, and kicking ass.
He enjoys killing things.
He does.
Which is a little scary, but okay. To each his own.
To each his own,
not
yeah.
Not gonna judge.
No judgment.
But it's... No judging. No judging. But yeah, you can tell he regrets it. So I say bravo to him for coming out of retirement. I mean, this is, like I said, this is completely unprecedented. He went to Vince about this. And he went to Dana about it. He and Vince arm wrestled.
Which is the weirdest. Which is the weirdest thing, but it's Brock Lesnar, it's Vince McMahon, it's...
Okay. No, this is for Vince. Like, it's just, of course, Vince McMahon. Guy comes to him and says, hey, I want to go back to UFC and fight. We're going to arm for it. Multi-million dollar deal. Yeah, let's arm wrestle for it.
Yeah. This was billionaire business. He put his big boy pants on to have a big boy billionaire conversation.
Yeah, it's like, and I think, you know, this is huge. So I think Vince definitely saw the merit in it. Dana obviously saw the merit in it, where it's a cross-promotion thing. Why not?
Why the hell not?
Well, it's something they can all benefit from it.
Oh, they can. Oh, and they
financially, especially.
Oh, and they will. Trust me, they all will benefit from it in some shape or form. Now, the wrinkles. There are many, many wrinkles to this. One of them we mentioned was Ariel Helwani, who got banned from UFC along with the rest of his MMA fighting team because the bosses, the high ups in UFC, were not happy that he broke the story. And they were tired of him being too negative.
And he had been warned in the past.
He's been warned in the past. That's true. But he's also, you know, he's had his ups and downs with the UFC. But, again, he's a reporter doing his job. That's what he does. That's what in any sport, reporters do their job. They were unhappy. They said, go cover Bellator or whatever. And for him, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was... I think the outrage came, one, over him, but two, that the other people that worked with him from MMA Fighting were also banned. Because he's an on-air talent. One was a photographer, and the other one was a videographer. It was two people, a husband and wife. So they also got tossed out of the building, and they did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So eventually, after a couple of days, and Ariel Helwani doing a lot of media, UFC, okay, let's reverse our decision. You're able to come back and everything like that. So he'll be credentialed again and all is right with the world. That was one layer. And then we also kind of sort of talked about as we've gone along is what does WWE gain besides promotion out of this? It is being reported that WWE is interested in having UFC competitor Paige VanZant as a part of SummerSlam. Now, the reason why they're interested in Paige VanZant, she was just on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, she was.
And did very well in the show. I don't think she won, but she was in the final three or four, I believe.
No, I don't think she did win.
No, she didn't win, but she was probably in the top four. I know that for sure.
Yeah, she went really far in the show, though.
So, buzzwords, Dancing with the Stars, Paige VanZant, WWE. That could be what WWE gets out of it. Could Ronda Rousey be next? Who knows? She has movies, and she has a knee injury, and all the other things that's going on, but it's opened the doors.
Well, I mean, if Vince wanted to have Ronda at Mania this coming year, that's a way to get Ronda, where you do another cross-promotion gig, because by then Ronda will be healed up from her knee injury, because she just had surgery on it, so she's not going to be available for SummerSlam, but you could have her potentially make her available for WrestleMania, and that's if Ronda's still signed by UFC at that point. You know, it could be Ronda decides to retire after the loss. That she's it's just like, okay, you know, I had my run. I want to concentrate on other things. I mean, it's somebody's guess what WWE is actually going to get out of this on the promotion for SummerSlam.
And that just is intriguing to me. This whole story is intriguing to me. That's the best way to describe it. Intrigue, because this has never been done before.
No. It's incredibly cool that this has happened, because, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you, like, spitball. at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're half drunk with your friends and you're talking sports, and it's almost like you sit here and you go, well, what if, you know, like, baseball and football did a thing together, yeah, where they did a cross-brand, cross-promotion thing. This is very similar to where it's like, well, what if you had MMA fighters going to WWE and working for WWE, and you had WWE fighters going to UFC and working in the UFC?
Or even like this, WWE and Ring of Honor, WWE and TNA. This goes way back to the Attitude Era. What if WWE and WCW worked together? It's sort of like when WWE and ECW worked together. There were some cross-promotion.
And, I mean, you could see more of this, because if Brock does well, and Brock wins, and he decides, hey, I want to go back and work UFC part-time when I'm not doing WWE, they could probably work something out for him where it's like, alright, well, you have this many dates you have to honor for us, and then you can go do whatever the hell you want with Dana. And in return, they get, you know, honestly, they could be real dicks about it, and they could force CM Punk to show back up.
Yeah, I don't think that will ever happen.
Oh, I think they could make it happen if they really wanted to, like, make him suffer. Oh, man, they could make him suffer.
They could. Oh, they definitely could, but I
like,
don't.
Like, Hunter and Steph could get their revenge on him. Something awful, because all they'd have to do is look at Dana and be like, yeah, we want him. And he would be contractually obligated to show up. Because here's the thing, if he decides to walk out on UFC for that crap, Dana White will sue him. Like, he won't play nice like WWE did, because he only had like 3 months left on his contract when he left. No. Dana will be like, uh-uh. No, get back here. Now.
So what would be interesting, besides that whole thing, we show up, UFC 200 shows up, and there's a WWE logo, or either 200 or 202, whichever one it is, and there's a WWE Network logo on the canvas.
That would be amazing.
I don't expect it to happen, but maybe when they do 202 to promote SummerSlam, maybe there's a SummerSlam logo on there.
There's a SummerSlam logo, or there's a sign, or there's the commercials, and the whole gig. Honestly, I want Paul Heyman to walk Lesnar out to the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And I want Paul Heyman to do the introduction. Like, if you're going to do this, do it.
Do the thing, Carl. Mix the two.
Mix it. Like, I mean, it's the possibilities for this are just endless.
It is.
Because, like you said, you could have anybody from UFC just show up one day in WWE, and you could run an angle with them.
You could.
You know, the door has been open. It's like Pandora's box has been opened on this. It's something you would never, ever think you see. Now, of course, we're probably all going to get really let down, and it's just going to be Vince McMahon's going to get a lot of money, Dana White's going to get a lot of money, Brock Lesnar's going to get a lot of money, everybody's going to win, this is going to happen, Brock wins or loses, and then everybody goes their merry way.
And guess what? If that's happened, that's great, but guess what? We get to see Brock Lesnar in the UFC one more time.
Yeah. And I want to see that fight. But I mean, it's something that, it's just the possibility of what could happen because of this, what could come of this, because again, they could work something out for Ronda.
The door opened with Ronda. This door has been open a little bit more now with Brock.
It's just the cross-promotion possibility is there, and it's really, really cool. Now, that being said, Brock has to win.
Brock has to win to keep some sort of credibility, because if he loses and loses badly, that will damage him.
Beyond repair. Because yeah, Here's the thing, he's putting his name, he's putting his reputation, he's putting everything on the line. Because this isn't like he loses a match in WWE. We all know of predetermined. UFC, as far as we all know, is real. So if Brock Lesnar walks out there and he's supposed to be this legit badass that can't be beaten, and he gets his butt handed to him.
He's the one who beat, he put the one in 22-1 now.
Yeah.
Or 23-1 rather now.
23-1, yeah. It's like he did the thing, broke the streak, you know, he held the WWE title. This is the guy that supposedly is going to face off against Roman Reigns at some point. You know, it's, you have, they have all these plans for Brock Lesnar, and if he loses, they're going to have to do a lot to build up his credibility, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to if he just loses.
And what I was telling Lindsay earlier, wait, what if Brock Lesnar wins at UFC 200 and then faces Roman Reigns and loses to Roman Reigns at SummerSlam? Oh, how people will be mad about Roman beating Brock, who, after the legit fighter. Oh, the people will be salty.
They'll have to get over it.
Oh, I know, they'll have to get over it, but it's going to be spectacular when it happens.
Oh, they're going to cram fanboy tears right into their drinks. No, no, mistake.
There's no mistake about that. It's going to happen.
But it's the best is at this point to get Roman Reigns over, and WWE is doing whatever they have to get him over with the fans. I mean, they have, for the last year, sacrificed the locker room for the sake of Roman Reigns to get him over. And it's all because of a few salty buttholes that just think doing him is cool, that a lot of this is happening. Just saying.
But I think that's pretty much it I got on Brock.
I think so too, so I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. Yes, we've moved it up, and we have the rest of the news. Promise it won't take that long. And of course, later in the show, we're talking NXT TakeOver. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa, I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flow Rider's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're just joining us, You missed our fantastic Brock Lesnar segment where we talked all about his return to the UFC. But now we're getting ready to do the rest of the news. But first, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Becky Lynch, actually first, Charlotte. Often imitated, never duplicated. Becky Lynch replies, thank God for that. Lana, just learn from me, Becky Lynch. I am the perfect woman. Everything I touch succeeds. Hashtag Lana Fierce. Hashtag Ravishing Russian. Hashtag SmackDown. And Becky replies, I've already been to clown school. Dolph Ziggler did an Ask the Heel segment, and Orton's German girl asked, would you like to fight Finn Balor? Dolph Ziggler replied, nah, he seems like a nice guy. And Finn Balor replies, did we just become best friends? And Ziggler's response, stay away from my drum set. And then somebody asked them both, why are you both so sweaty? And Dolph goes, we were watching Cops. The new broken scene posted in 2 hours and 16 minutes. I'll be seeing Dean Ambrose wrestle live against Fight Owens Fight. Can't wait to see my hero in a leather jacket. Kevin Owens replies, I don't wear a leather jacket, but thanks. Ty Dillinger posts, even at the DMV, they get it. Hashtag perfect 10. Hashtag NX10. And Kevin Owens replies, you're a dork, and I love it. Kai Stewart asks, Dolph Ziggler, do you reply to tweets? And he goes, no. Michael Demopoulos, sorry if I said your name wrong, very Greek, asks Kevin Owens, I'm getting married, and I want you to be my best man. Kevin Owens replies, no. Kevin Owens. Also, the Full Sail Arena chanting, who are you at Paul Ellerling? Is a great example of why I don't wrestle there anymore. Daniel replies going, didn't they chant that to the big guys in the ring? Possibly. I'm still glad I don't wrestle there anymore, though. And that's all I have.
Moms Against WWE posted a photo of a Seth Rollins tweet, which was, Emo Lord CrossFit Jesus, I don't know how that happened, but keep the blasphemy coming. They replied, only thing you would have in common with Jesus is the most famous images of you both have wood in them.
Ooh! Bless!
Someone tweeted to Sugar Mask and Tommy Dreamer, my favorite part of ECW and the guys there was when Tommy Dreamer would shout ECF and W on the top of his lungs. Dreamer replied, I still do it during sex only, though. What a Maneuver tweeted, I'm old, I'm not bald, said, which was quoting Christopher Daniels. Daniels replied, first of all, I'm timeless. Second, I shave my gorgeous flowing locks every day to minimize wind resistance.
Yes, you do, Chris. Yes, you do.
Adam Humphrey Kirk tweeted in English, I would love to meet you. He replied, that sounds disgusting because he said meet, M-E-A-T.
Ew.
Big Dick Bandit tweeted AJ Styles, Michelle McCool called, she wants her finisher back. AJ replied, someone just showed their ignorance. Josh Matthews tweeted, I want to personally thank Ethan Carter, Eli Drake, Brothers Clay, Ali Impact, Rockstar Spud, and Sienna for the past 6 days in Mexico. EC3 replied, thank you, Josh. You have a future in the jaded, bitter world of talent relations. Robbie E. replied to both of them, ha ha ha, he he he. Look, me and Josh have so many inside jokes. I'm pals with everyone. He 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 he. LOL. 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 EC3 replied, we've been plotting this since you saw us talking through the window. Got to get him. PW Insider just put out a regular post, which gave Sapolsky replied, we just banned Mike Johnson for life for breaking this Cody Rhodes news. Go cover Bellator with Ariel.
Really?
Taking shots. Then Gregor Helms replied to that one, I'm banning you, Gabe Sapolsky, for breaking news of banning Mike. It's a thing on the internet. Cage Side Seats. Teddy Long appeared on the show and no one is going one-on-one with The Undertaker. This is a travesty.
It's a fail.
Vince Googling tweeted, is Titus O'Neil Teddy Long's son? Gabe Sapolsky tweeted, who will step up and sign the open contract for a non-sanctioned fight versus Ethan Carter at Evolve 63 in Orlando on Saturday?
I'll do it.
EC3 replied, Derek Bateman, hopefully.
Play. really.
WWE vacant. Working on my ladder climbing quickness this morning at the WWE Performance Center. Hashtag Money in the Bank. He also tweeted, I'm trying to decide my ladder climbing method for Money in the Bank. Should I run up fast or can I? As I can, or take the slow methodical route. Rung by rung. The decisions. John Gonzalez. NFL. We were hacked. Roger Goodell is still alive. Twitter. Oh. Sad face. Fake Sports Center. Breaking. Tom Brady is suspended for upcoming season for admitting to he hacked the NFL's Twitter account and said Roger Goodell is dead. Vince Googling. How come it's been 3 years since anyone sent me a tout? Cade side seats. Pretty sure Vince McMahon's music will hit once Hunt has Lesnar in trouble and he'll go for the distraction finish. It's possible. Big E. See you soon, American Alpha. I'm just trolling. I know nothing. WWE creative-ish. We haven't seen a muster buster that devastating since Triple H tore his quad. Hashtag NXT TakeOver. And Nick Mundy. Does Obama get to keep the POTUS Twitter handle next year? If so, is the next president going to have to sign up for @RealPOTUS or @POTUS with a money sign 69420?
It depends who gets elected, honestly.
It really, really, really does. But that's Tweet of the Week.
That is Tweet of the Week, by the way. I love how Roger Goodell's Twitter gets hacked, or the NFL Twitter gets hacked. They say Roger Goodell is dead. Nobody's upset by it.
No one was upset by it.
No one was upset. No one.
No one was. Felt bad, but not really.
I felt so bad for Roger Goodell, because it's like he's the most hated man in football. Aside from the fact that it's like he makes stupid decisions, there's really no reason why anybody should hate him. Because he's kind of at the mercy of the owners and the players. And he's got to deal with all this crap, and then it's like somebody says he's dead, and everybody's like, good.
Yeah.
That would feel awful. Poor man.
Poor, poor man.
That being said, put the field goals back to where they were. Damn it. So, now we're going to jump into the rest of the news. Brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And since I'm dropping TNA, I think we need to drop the other kind of big news that broke this week, and that is TNA doesn't own TNA anymore?
Apparently they don't own TNA, or at least part of the word TNA now, as apparently Aralux Media has owns the letter TNA that took control of the name TNA last month. Records with the Tennessee Business Division showed Aralux Media LLC assumed the name TNA on May 3rd. It was a 5-year registration covering the period of May 3rd, 2016 to May 3rd, 2021. Aralux Media LLC is now conducting business under TNA, Aralux Media, and AMSM Productions, which was also a new 5-year registration on April 25th. This week, all four companies, Impact Ventures, which is another new name for TNA, TNA Wrestling, TNA Entertainment, and Aralux Media, were tagged with notices of the termination dated June 1st. Essentially, the business division conducts an annual review of the Tennessee business if its company's fiscal year ends in December, which is the case for all four companies. Then those businesses have until April 1st to file their annual report for the previous year. So, yeah.
And this is a follow-up to a story that we were talking about back in right around this time in May, where there was speculation that Aralux was going to have a hostile takeover of TNA, that apparently TNA owed them money, and if they didn't get paid, they were going to take controlling ownership of TNA from Dixie Carter, because she supposedly put it up as collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I think that happened.
I think they own the name TNA or TNA right now. They don't own TNA Wrestling, they own TNA.
They own the trademark on TNA.
Yeah.
Which can be bad.
Can be bad.
So I wonder if Dixie sold that to them.
Possibly.
As a way to cover the debt. I don't know, or put that up as collateral. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We don't know. We saw this today and it was like, wait, what?
Right? It was like, oh, okay. That's a story.
Yeah, because it's something of when we talked about it in May, it was, okay, well, nobody really knew what was going on with it. All it was speculation that Dixie Carter had put TNA up as collateral for Aralux because Aralux had been funding the TNA tapings for that month. And I think they're also funding Slammiversary?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, if they own the company at this point, they kind of have to. But anyway, there was a lot of speculation back and forth on what the deal was between Aralux and Dixie Carter, and you never heard really any resolution to it. It was always just assumed that because there was no announcement that Aralux had taken over, that Dixie had paid the bill and they were fine, and now this comes out where it's, okay, well, they bought the trademarks, and they own the trademarks for the next 5 years for TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they could, you know, look at Dixie and be like, oh, well, you know, you're in violation, we're going to kick you out. Because that's no longer controlled by TNA, unless Aralux also bought or received part of the company TNA and Impact Wrestling and everything else.
It's going to be interesting. It's something to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, definitely, definitely a situation to keep an eye on as we move forward. But I believe that's all the TNA news. Couple quick notes. Swerved Season 2 is now available for your binging pleasure on the WWE Network. Looks like there's a lot of good episodes, so go check it out.
Yeah, a couple of things. Dean Ambrose is funny on it. Becky Lynch as a blonde is interesting. Big Show scares people. Stardust scares people. That's all I've seen so far. It's good. It's good stuff. It's gone from wrestlers being pranked to wrestlers pranking innocent people.
Yeah, which somehow makes it better.
Which makes it, well, they're now in on the joke rather than being pranked. Except for there's one NXT prank that gets the entire NXT group. Except for Finn Balor.
Except for Finn Balor. It's awesome. Like, they get Sami Zayn.
Sami was mad.
Sami was so pissed.
Sami was awesome. Really, really mad.
He yelled at somebody and then he felt sorry.
He yelled at a poor cameraman. He felt sorry.
He felt bad. He yelled it. He even says it. You made me yell at the camera guy.
Dude, he's just doing his job. God.
Oh, bless Sami Zayn. He's such a little cinnamon roll. Speaking of scaring people, it was announced that Luke Harper, of all people, has landed a movie gig. Now, mind you, this is not a WWE film. This is an independent film in which he was cast in, called Mohawk.
Yeah, that's interesting. It films in upstate New York, so as he's rehabbing, he can go work on the film.
Basically a horror film that I think takes place around the American Revolution?
I think so. Sounds about right.
And deals with soldiers facing off against the Mohawk tribe of Indians. It has a couple Twilight actors in it. So, and it has not been announced what part Harper is playing. I would guess he's one of the soldiers.
Probably.
And no word on if he's going to have to change the look. I would say no.
I don't think he would.
Or not drastically.
I don't think he's going to. He hasn't changed his look in about 10 years, so yeah. I don't think he's changed his look.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, we need the bushy Luke Harper for when he comes back, so do not make him shave his beard. Although, looking at that man, as hairy as he is, he could probably grow that beard back in like a week.
Probably.
And, well, speaking of follow-ups, since we're doing follow-ups,
mm-hmm.
You know, on TNA, we have a follow-up on Adam Rose.
He's now Aldo Rose, no longer PG Exotic Express.
Oh my.
He will, you know, there are no more Rosebuds, but he's no longer PG. He's now Aldo Rose, and he'll be taking it to the places near you at the end of the summer.
I had to kind of laugh because somebody was complaining about this, and they were like, well, why didn't he bring back, you know, Leo Kruger? And somebody else replied, he's up for domestic violence charges. Somehow I don't think doing Leo Kruger as a wrestling gimmick would be a good idea.
Yeah. His reasoning for the guy he was in NXT was not the guy he was brought up in WWE, and so now he's going to do what he wanted to do on the road now. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Let's see if it's any better. So the Exotic Express, the X-rated version coming to a town near you. I have no transition for this, but quick note, WWE has named a new VP of branding. Her name is Julia Jensen. She was previously with Mattel. But basically, her job will be to work with WWE's business units to help drive revenue and further enhance the company's brand reputation among key constituencies, including advertisers, business partners, media, and investors. Just to give you a little background on her, she spent more than 15 years at Mattel doing basically the same job. She worked with Global Brands Communications. She was responsible for overseeing global communications across all businesses and driving brand engagement and relevancy for iconic Mattel brands, including Barbie. So, hey, we might get Diva Barbies.
Hey, she'll report to Stephanie McMahon.
She will. So, congratulations to Julie Jensen as she comes on board.
It was a lot of speculation's been going on about NXT Brooklyn. Tickets have go on sale this Saturday. And as Hunter has been pointing out, they will sell out really fast. So if you want to go to Brooklyn,
yeah.
Brooklyn Takeover, it's happening Saturday, August 20th, right before UFC 202. Get your tickets available Saturday.
Yeah, and when he says fast, he means like 5 minutes fast. I mean, I tried to get tickets for when they were here in Atlanta. Could not do it. Could not get them. They sold out in the pre-sale.
So get them while you can.
Yeah.
You're
they do not book big buildings for this, although TakeOver is probably going to be the exception.
It's Barclays.
Yeah, because they're doing Barclays. Mm-hmm. So you probably have a better shot if you want to go to TakeOver in Brooklyn. But yeah, just in general, if NXT is coming to your town, those tickets go like hotcakes. So be prepared. And speaking of prepared, because I have no transition for this either, we're lacking on the transitions tonight. Let's do Blame Brent.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
You know, I will say, at least we get to go without hearing that. So, yay. We only have one Blame Brent this week.
Which is?
The Drifter.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
Seems he fractured his ankle in Nashville in a match. He's slated to be out about 4 to 6 weeks. Give or take.
At least 4 or 6 weeks, yeah. That doesn't sound good. Bones take a while, so it's going to be a while before we see the Drifter again. That has to hurt.
He drifted on home to get better.
Yeah, so that was our hashtag.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
Of the week.
Yay! Another quick note, Rusev and Lana will be having two weddings, one in Malibu for Total Divas in July and one in Bulgaria in September. So congratulations to them. Go Rusev and Lana. And finally...
This is the coolest piece of news I've ever heard of.
Rob Schomburger is taking over the world, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing it one thing at a time. I think it's incredibly awesome, so I put this in here because I'm obviously a huge fangirl for Rob. And I just think it's really cool because Rob Schomburger this year was invited to do the WWE 2K17 roster reveal.
Yeah, he's going to do some of the roster reveal at Comic-Con, I believe? No, not Comic-Con, E3.
E3. And he actually, I think, has done a painting for it.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to reveal the roster, is through a Rob Schomburger painting.
Yeah.
Or I think a series of paintings.
Yeah, they're not going to put out all of them, but they're going to put out some.
Yeah. And that is just...
Epic.
Epic. Yeah, that's the only way I can describe it. That's so cool. Especially for Rob. I mean, that's just got to be insane.
He was covered in Forbes.com.
Yeah, he was covered on Forbes.com. He was bragging about it. So we had to put it in here just for Rob because, you know, 2-time guest on the rack? 3-time guest?
Multi-time guest of the rack?
Yeah, multi-time guest. We had Rob Schomburger before he was Rob Schomburger. Damn it.
We had Rob Schomburger before Rob Schomburger was cool.
Damn it. But yeah, so big congratulations to Rob. Keep up the awesome work, dude. Cannot wait to see it. Because when are they doing the reveal?
E3 is end of next week, I think.
Is it?
I believe E3 is next, the 16th, something like
that. Somebody Google it.
E3, I think it's the 16th, something like that.
To the Google, as we Google live on the air, because we are so prepared for this crap, right?
The 14th through the 16th.
Okay, yeah, so next week.
So Tuesday through the 14th, depending on when... 2K does their presentation.
So, and you can watch that stuff live, right?
Yeah, it's all streaming on the internet.
Okay, send me a reminder.
I will do that.
Because, you know, reasons.
Reasons for a thing.
Perfectly legit, selfish reasons, but reasons.
Reasons nonetheless.
But I say that does it for the news, unless you have anything else.
No, I say that's the news. We go to break, come back, we're going to talk all about the end.
NXT TakeOver. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Your one and only desire. Am I the reason you breathe? Or am I the reason you cry? Always.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather stream retires. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to get wild by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
You came to me in a dream last night. Standing in a brilliant light, 1 minute here, but the next you were gone. I thought you could stay, but I was so wrong.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at
Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. Yes, we are here. The end has come. If you're just joining us, you missed all our talk about Brock Lesnar, all the news, all the notes for the week, tweet of the week, but now the end is here because we are going to talk about NXT TakeOver, the end.
Is the beginning.
Is the beginning.
The end is the beginning, and we'll discuss that.
Is the end.
Yeah, we'll discuss all that at the end of this, what that actually means. And this whole special started last night with a really, really cool video package.
Yeah, it did. So much Bray Wyatt. It made me so happy. The yearning is strong. He better show up Monday, so help me God, he better show up Monday. That's all I'm going to say on it, but yeah. Awesome video package. We saw the very early days of NXT. We saw a young Seth Rollins. We saw a younger Bray Wyatt and the kids. We saw Paige.
Sasha, Charlotte.
All of them as they made their journey through NXT and where they had transitioned to on the main roster, to Sami Zayn, to Kevin Owens, to so many others that were in the process. So it's basically to show the journey of NXT from where it started to where it is now. It was a really well done package.
Yeah, it really, really, really was.
Plus Bray Wyatt. And the kids.
Which is mainly the reason we brought this up. No.
Also, Wyatt Harper. 2024. Follow the buzzards.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Andrade Almas took on Ty Dillinger. Think I got the name right. Think. Maybe.
It's a little difficult to say.
Andrade. I think I'm getting close to it. Andrade. What did you call him?
The Mexican Godfather.
See, to me, he looked like the Mexican-American males. Remember the American males? Oh, wait, I don't think
Yeah, but he kind of had the big pimpin' thing going on.
He
looked really slick. I liked the outfit. I liked the hat. Cesaro needs to teach him how to strip off the pants because he has the rip-away pants. You need to do it with more flair. Just, you know, boom, they're gone. Look at my fancy tights.
Woo! So, first, Ty Dillinger is now known as what?
Man Panty Stan. He was! They looked like underoos. His trunks looked like underoos. They were red and they had the white piping around him and they looked like underwear. And it's like, oh my God, he's wearing man panties. We have a new Mr. Man Panties, y'all. It's back. It's a thing. Bless. Unfortunately, it's Ty Dillinger, but at least he's a perfect 10.
He is a perfect 10.
What was he wearing?
I don't know. Did it light up a little bit?
I think it did. It was this really odd jacket thing with this high collar, and it had like a 10 on the back, and it was a little weird.
A little weird. These two, Andrade and Ty, were in the opener. Good competitive matchup between the two men. The crowd was really behind Ty Dillinger throughout the majority of this matchup. The crowd's really taking to the perfect 10.
He's really over with the crowd. I don't know if it's going to translate well with the larger crowds, but for NXT, they really like him, and they really enjoy him, and that's all that matters. But yeah, super over with the crowd. I thought this was a good opening match. I think the show stealers were a little bit later, but this was a really, really solid debut.
Andrade did some sort of handstand on top rope, and then Ty kicked him.
In the face.
Stand with the kick instead of stand being kicked.
It's the stand kick.
It's the stand kick. Andrade hit the handspring double knees and then running double knees in the corner as Andrade picks up the victory.
Very nice debut. Very nice showing for Dillinger.
Yes, it was. So a good start to the career of Andrade Almas.
We're working on the name, sorry.
I'm working on it because that's what matters.
That's what matters, yes. We're working on the name. Well, I mean, it's like you only hear it twice.
Yeah.
So, the full name. So, it's just it's like, okay, how do you say this?
How do you say that?
How do you pronounce this?
It's sort of one of those things that you learn as you go.
It's like Trivialante. Now I can say it.
So, like, wait. Oh, yeah. I got it. Got the name now.
I've got the name now. We need to get him back on.
We'll have to get him back on at some point. So, we then have the tag team championship match, American Alpha taking on the Revival.
This was a really good match.
Yeah, I should mention we both had Andrade with the win in the
pick. Hey!
I forget. I have to pull up the 8-Ball, see what the 8-Ball did on that one. So we had the tag team title match. This was a really, really good tag team matchup. There's a nice double drop kick, nice double ankle lock, nice double team clothesline. American Alpha was great on the double teams. And then the Revival took over. They played Keep Away with Gable for a while. So you remember this team called America's Most Wanted?
Yep.
I think the Revival stole a move out of their playbook.
Which move?
The Death Sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I've missed the Death Sentence so much.
And if anyone's going to do it, let the Revival do it.
Let the Revival do it. Bring it back. Hit the move. It's an awesome move. Even though it's really just somebody holding somebody else up and you hit a leg drop. But still, it looks cool.
Still looks very, very cool.
But yeah, this was a fantastic match. A lot of back and forth. Lot of keep away. American Alpha was out there kicking butt. The Revival was really aggressive. There were a lot of double teams. There were a lot of switcheroos, twin magic, if you will. I mean, Jason Jordan was just phenomenal in this match. The belly to belly.
That was great.
That was freaking awesome. Holy crap.
Yeah, the belly to belly from the... Ooh. So Gable counter... They were going for like a double team powerbomb, leg drop, something or other. And Gable turns it into a belly to belly suplex from the dude's shoulders.
It was just insane. I mean, just the amount of talent in Jordan is insane.
Yeah. There was a nice dropkick German suplex combo by the American Alpha. This was great tag team wrestling all around. There was a roll up for a two count. That was the spot we just talked about. They went for Grand Amplitude, but no, they countered it into the Shatter Machine. And your new two-time NXT tag team champions, the first ever two-time tag team champions, the Revival.
I have to say, well-deserved to the Revival.
Oh yeah, very well-deserved. Very well-deserved.
And I don't think there were any losers in this match just because of how well they did with each other. And it was an all-around great tag team match. And the best part of all, they got time.
Yes, they did.
They weren't rushed, which was nice.
When you have 5 matches on the show, yeah, you weren't going to be rushed.
Yeah, they timed this out really, really well.
But yeah, that was a big shocker that they picked up the win and they walked out with the belt. That was a shocking moment.
It was, and I think the show needed it. Given what happened later on, they went for the shocking moment early, and then that way it's like, okay, we have that out of the way, so now we can do everything else.
They got 15 minutes for this matchup. Felt longer than 15 minutes, which is good.
Yeah, it felt like 20.
Felt like 20. Overall, really good match. I thought this was a little better than the TakeOver match in Dallas, just because a couple missed spots in that one, and they felt each other out a little bit more. This one?
They seem to have more experience with each other under their belts. They were going for it more in this match. I think they took a little bit more risks in this than they did in Dallas.
Yeah. Going back, the 8-Ball had Dillinger in the first one. But we all had American Alpha, including the 8-Ball and 2K16. So actually, everyone who participated in Pick'em had American Alpha. Ibs.
We are nothing if not predictable on the entire goddamn network.
Pretty much. That's the way it does. So American Alpha picked up dropped the belts to the Revival. Speaking of the American Alpha, they're up. They're getting a big ovation from the crowd. And then they're jumped by 2 Samoans. The Authors of Pain.
Is that what they're called?
That's what they're called. The Authors of Pain.
These are some big, scary-looking dudes.
They are big, scary-looking dudes.
I mean, like, they look like they just sit on you and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just big, big Samoans, and they beat the crap out of Jordan and Gable. When they held the camera on, I was like, something's gonna happen, but I didn't know what. I thought someone would come from the stage. But no, these two men jumped them. And then the biggest shock, beyond that, Paul Ellering shows up, and he looks to be the manager of the Authors of Pain. And everything you expected tonight, I did not expect Paul Ellering to show up at NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, that was a little shocking. It's like, oh, hey, look, it's Paul Ellering. How about that? That's awesome. And, you know, it's just like they're out there killing American Alpha. And it's like, oh, okay, so Paul Ellering is back. He's going to manage these two dudes. Okay.
If there's anyone to learn from.
That's the guy you want to learn from.
We saw his daughter, Rachel, earlier, a few weeks ago, working for NXT. She took on Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
So that's pretty darn cool, to say the least, on that one. So we got a brand new tag team and new tag team champions. And as we mentioned in Tweet of the Week with Big E, he be trolling.
He's so be trolling.
Then Shinsuke Nakamura took on the greatest man who ever lived, Austin Aries.
This made my ovaries hurt. This was so beautiful. It was so pretty. Stiff as hell.
Yeah, it was.
But pretty. So pretty.
Austin Aries came in with his ribs taped, so he must have had some sort of rib injury coming in. Damn it, Brent. Your fault. Hashtag blame Brent.
Can you stop now? You're the reason we can't have nice things.
Him and Rob.
Dude! Rob, man! He has been on a roll. He got, what, 5 people in one day on Monday?
Something like that, yeah.
Hey, like, every time you turn around, somebody else is dropping. It's like, geez, Rob! You don't have to do them all in one day. Space it out.
So, this was one hell of a matchup. The fans were singing Shinsuke's theme, which has no lyrics, but they were singing it anyhow.
Yeah, they were just singing the theme, and I think Shinsuke highly enjoyed it. Aries was trying not to laugh. It's classic. I would say Shinsuke's over. What do you think?
Just a tad.
A tad? Mildly over?
Just mildly over?
Yeah.
Just mildly over with this crowd.
Though props to, like, those 2 dudes that were chanting Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Because it was like, at one point they're all chanting Shinsuke Nakamura or whatever. They were like chanting Shinsuke or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 2 dudes going, Austin Aries!
They try.
Bless them.
They try. They try so
they
hard.
They try to represent. They really did. Bless them for it.
So Triple H, last night, right after TakeOver, was on Facebook, and he talked about this matchup. He said it was one of those dream matches you would look at outside WWE and wonder, what if? He said that Nakamura is hard to explain, but was one of the most sought-after talents in the world. He said Nakamura and Aries being here shows that NXT is the place to be. And boy, this one showed it for one hell of a match. Hard-hitting, big shots all around. There's one, Shinsuke does this knee thing in the corner called Good Vibrations, or boot thing, rather. And he did it a couple times. He went in for a third time. Aries did the dragon screw, and then that's where he took control of this matchup for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He would hit one big hell of a dive onto Shinsuke on the outside. More action in the ring. Nakamura counters into a triangle. He goes for the Kinshasa, something like that. I forget how you pronounce it, because Corey Graves just screams it, so I really can't tell.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to tell.
Kinshasa, I think that's how you go. Kinshasa.
Mm-hmm.
As I play it back in my head. I was countering to Lance Chantry. Aries went to 450, double E's, no, Aries stays in control. They fought on the apron for a while, back and forth, hard hitting shots, kicks, fists, forearms, you name it. And then the Death Valley Driver, the DVD on the apron by Aries, onto Shinsuke Nakamura, was like, ooh, crap, he's done.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
And then Aries was like, he's not completely done, because he's back up, so Aries goes for a big dive. Shinsuke moves, Aries crashes and burns.
Which again looked like it hurt.
Shinsuke tossed him in the ring, did a knee from the top rope, then the exploder, and then the Kinshasa for the win. Shinsuke Nakamura.
I need like 3 more of these. I mean, this was just... I don't think this was as good as Shinsuke and Sammy.
No. No, it wasn't, but this was great, though.
This is a very, very close second to Shinsuke and Sammy. There was just something about those two that had that magical quality that while Aries and Nakamura have it, it's just not as strong. I mean, they went for it in this match. Austin Aries was 100% there for it, which I think a lot of people were kind of doubting because you never know with Austin Aries. If he's not feeling it that night, he's not going to turn in that good of a match. But if he is feeling it, just stand back and watch the fireworks because it's going to be beautiful. And this match was absolutely beautiful. It was everything you could ask for. Thank you, Daddy Hunter, for this. Thanks, NXT Dad. Thanks.
Thanks, Hunter.
We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So, that was really good. Me and you took Nakamura, the 8-ball in the game, took Austin Aries.
Ah, screw you, 8-ball! Screw you!
she just does not like the 8-ball.
Because it's always right.
NXT Women's title is on the line. Asuka versus Nia.
Oh, this was great. Excuse me, this was absolutely just great. Very hard hitting. Lots of back and forth. Lots of Nia throwing Asuka around. Lots of Asuka kicking and punching and everything else. I like these two together. I think they mix well together.
Yeah, they mix well together. Like she mentioned, hard shots all around. Lots of submissions. Early submission attempts. Asuka was taunting Nia early on with kicks and stuff. Like, I can hit it at any time. So really good stuff all around. She went for a leg drop. No, Asuka move, running knee. Nia caught the kick. Powerbomb for a two count. Asuka would at some point put an armbar on. She would try to do the Asuka lock, the chicken wing, but was not able to really get it on. But eventually would hit the running knee to knock out Nia Jax and pick up the victory.
Go Asuka. Go Asuka.
So Asuka retains the NXT Women's Championship. Not, like I've said from the beginning, give Nia time to learn and improve. She's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I think, and Nia being in there with somebody that knows what they're doing and can kind of get her through the match, not necessarily carry her, but lead her through the match, as it were, she turns in really, really, really good showings, as is the case with Bayley. You know, she and Bayley had a fantastic match. This match, right up there with it. This was really well done. Asuka led the way. She was, you could tell, and that's fine.
That's what you're supposed to do. The
veteran's That's what supposed you're
to,
supposed to do.
The veteran's supposed to lead.
But, I mean, Nia made Asuka look like $1 million. Asuka made Nia look like $1 million. I mean, this was really well done. All the way around, I applaud both women for this. They were great. Really thoroughly enjoyed this match.
Triple H said, the people forget that Asuka's been doing this for 10 to 11 years and brings an experience level that Jax in the ring for 1 year does not. But Jax pushed herself and said, it was still a step forward for her in this matchup, and I would totally agree with that. It was, and indeed, a huge, huge step forward.
Oh, it was. She pushed herself in this. You could tell. You could really tell that she pushed herself in this.
This was the best showing Nia Jax has ever had since being in NXT, and that was a lot to do with Nia Jax, but it also the improvement of Asuka, and a lot to do with the improvement of Nia Jax. Great. This was what she needed. She needs to learn.
And she's gradually learning. I don't think she's going to go up just yet to the main roster, because she still has way more she's got to get through.
She's got to learn.
But when she does, like you said, yeah, just stand back. Watch her go. She's going to be something.
Triple H also mentioned in his Facebook live chat right after the show last night that there could be a big debut coming that could change the landscape really quick. And really fast in the women's division. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
What are you up to, Hunter?
He is up to something. Video game went with Nia Jax. The rest of us went with Asuka.
Screw you, video game. I don't know you that well, but screw you.
So, let me interview you right now, alright? I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
So, what do you think of NXT so far?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Wait, hold on. There's someone walking behind you. Hi,
Is
Bob.
There?
Hi, Bobby.
Bobby Roode! Point!
That's exactly what happened. William Regal was doing an interview on TakeOver, and Bobby Roode just casually walks by.
With coffee.
With coffee. Into Regal's office. Just casually walk by. Like, no big deal. I'm here.
Single easiest payday of the night goes to Bobby Roode.
He drinks some coffee.
He drank some coffee, but he was there. This, you know, honestly, this was better than just having Bobby in the crowd, because he's wandering around backstage. He's going into Regal's office. It's that real nice tease of Bobby Roode's there. Bobby Roode's meeting with management. Meeting Bobby Roode is going to turn up on TV really soon.
Triple H was also asked, Bobby Roode is an example of the entire world wanting to be in NXT, someone who wants to be there, and everyone is clamoring to be a part of the brand. Very interesting, Hunter. Very interesting. And he used the word brand, and we'll talk about that here in a couple minutes.
Yes, we will.
But main event. Steel Cage. Samoa Joe. And the unleashed from his cage. Demon. Finn Balor.
Couple things of notes. Balor's was very monochromatic tonight with black, white, and silver. Did not do a back piece. He kept the makeup very simple. The cage lowered down, and the sides swung down.
Which was awesome.
Which was really cool. The cage got its own entrance. Balor decided to jump the top of the cage to enter the ring because, you know, demons just don't use doors.
And he was feeling out the cage. Ooh. Ooh, new toy. Ooh. This is a new toy. I like it.
I like this. I like it a lot.
I like it. yeah, we're gonna have some fun.
Joe showed up, he brought out his shiny pretty belt, and then they proceeded to try and kill each other.
Yep, that's exactly what would happen. There was one really, really, it's this very simple spot, and you pointed it out as we were watching it, where Finn kicked Joe, Joe fell down, looked like he was dead. It was a great, it was a great sell.
It was a fantastic sell. Like, he fell off the top rope onto the mat.
It's like,
awesome.
It's the Luke Harper sell, is the best way to put it.
Yep.
Just, I'm dead. Joe would throw Finn repeatedly into the cage. Both men were climbing the cage. Insegura to the back of the head by Joe. Both men came hard down. Finn at one point got crouched on top rope. Muscle Buster, roll up, two count. Sling Blade hanging from the ropes, which was nice. Sling Blade, drop kick, no. Muscle Buster, two count. First ever someone kicking out a Muscle Buster, I believe.
In NXT, yeah.
In NXT. Sling Blade, drop kicks, coup de grace, two count. I think that's the same as well. First ever coup de grace kick out, I think.
Maybe.
I think maybe Joe kicked out once.
I think Joe's kicked out of it once, yeah.
Either way, no one really kicks out of it often. 1916, no. Kikina clutch. Finn is able to escape. Joe is down. Joe keeps stopping Finn from escaping. And at this point, we're saying, oh God, Finn, what are you going to do? No, Finn, please don't jump. Please don't jump. Instead of jumping, he gets caught. Muscle Buster, the super Muscle Buster for the victory. Still the NXT champion, Samoa Joe.
This was amazing. This was a great cage match. It was really well done, really well timed out. They had a lot of time to do it. They weren't rushed. They used the cage, but they didn't use the cage. You really only had a couple escape attempts on Joe and Balor's part. There weren't a lot, which I liked, because my whole vendetta against cage matches with an escape clause is I feel like it's like, okay, well, if you have to escape, I'll take climbing over the top, because that actually requires you to, you know, try to escape, as opposed to the referee opening the door and holding the door open for you, so you can just, you know, walk out, because, yeah, that so settles everything, you just leave. So I like that they used the escape attempts, but they didn't, there weren't a lot of them.
And commentary put them over, too. They actually felt like they mean something. Just go. All you have to do is leave. They were actually putting it over, which actually adds to it. So if you're going to use an escape the cage thing, you have to have the announcer sell it.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing with WWE main roster when they do cage matches, is they don't always sell the escape attempts, and there's too many of them. Like, they go for that really obvious spot of the guy's climbing up, the other guy pulls him down, then the other guy jumps up, he's trying to get out, and the other guy pulls him down, and back and forth for like 5 minutes, or whatever, however long the match is, and it gets old. To me, it's like, for a cage match, and this is just how I feel about it, if it gets to the point where y'all two have to be locked in a cage to settle this crap, somebody should pin somebody else or somebody should tap somebody else in the middle of the ring. It shouldn't be, oh, hey, look at me, I just skip and na-di-da out the door. No, 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 no. You pin him in the middle of the ring, or her, depending on, you know, what's going on.
On the situation, yeah.
So I liked that. I liked that this got settled smack dab in the middle of the ring. The Muscle Buster off the top rope was sick.
Yeah, it was. And then what was great is the finish mattered. They didn't go to anything. They didn't cut to black. They spent like 3-4 minutes checking on Balor. Joe just stood there, held his belt, walked up the ramp slowly. It made it feel special.
Yeah, Balor didn't move until right after they went off the air.
Yeah. So this match got 16 minutes. Everything, the three big men's matches got about 15, 16, and 17 minutes respectively.
Mm-hmm.
The women's match went about 10, and the opener went about 6. That was a perfectly paced show. You had 5 matches, you gave everything, and every match felt like they could have gone longer, but they felt like they were there for a while, too.
Almost all of them felt like just the right amount of time. I would say maybe the only one that probably could have gone a little bit longer was the opener, but I think 6 minutes is about right for the opener.
Especially when you're debuting someone new, you're trying to just put him over.
Yeah, you're debuting something new. You don't want to show everything that they can do in one shot. So it's, you know, you debut the new person, he gets ring time, he gets screen time, you put him over, everybody's happy, and you can slowly progress his abilities and his talent and really showcase him over the next couple of weeks to get the people into him.
Yeah,
or her.
We went with Samoa Joe, so the 8-ball video game went with Finn Balor. So the video game went 0-4. Video game went 0-4.
Hey!
8-Ball went, let's see, 2 and 3. 2 for 3. We went 4-1.
Go us.
Go us go on that one. So, that was me doing math on the air. Always, always fun.
Now you can do math.
I can do the math. That's hard by WTR Fantasy. Anyway, keep up to date at wildtalkradio.com and on Twitter. But we kept mentioning this, the brand. Well, Triple H, after the show last night, went to Facebook Live and was introduced as the man behind NXT. Interesting phrasing.
NXT dad.
Yeah. Kathy Kelly asked Triple H about the speculation of the titles of tonight's show, The End. Triple H joked the NXT was no longer, because, you know, he likes playing with it. He said there were multiple meanings to that title. He said the night was about the end of Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe after 7 months. He said the biggest reason was that NXT has amazing transition from where they started, and you see the names like Paige and Seth Rollins as initial champions. He said they have transitioned from being a developmental brand to being a brand itself. He said NXT is its own brand in every way, and tonight marked the start of NXT, the brand, quote-unquote.
Mm. So, does that mean it's no longer developmental?
Apparently, the brand itself is no longer developmental. There'll probably still be developmental Florida shows, but itself, the touring brand, is a thing now.
Hey!
I wonder how it plays into the draft, if it doesn't any.
That's what I was kind of wondering. So it's like, so wait a minute, does that mean people can permanently stay on NXT now? So we could, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor could just stay down there and be the headliners for NXT?
It could.
Could people go back to NXT?
I don't think anyone's going to go back down to NXT, no.
But maybe people like your Bo Dallas's, have people like go back down and kind of do what Emma did and sort of reimagine themselves.
Oh, that's very possible. You only want Bo to go back down so he can be dragged off by security again.
It was funny. Actually, no, I want Bo Dallas to go back down to NXT because I feel like Bo Dallas never really got a shot like a lot of other people in the main roster when they came up. It's like they brought him up and the thing is they brought him up as a face. They didn't bring him up as a heel, which they really should have. NXT Bo Dallas was fantastic. He was so entertaining. He was hilarious. He was just that smarmy heel that you just wanted, or not even smarmy, but he was that heel that you just wanted to punch in the face.
Yeah, he was.
He was just that condescending, fake, nice guy that you just wanted to punch right in the face, and he's so good at it. And they don't let him do that on the main roster. It's just there at the end, he was so good, and they called him up, and they just never brought the character with him. It's like, just let him be that a-hole.
Yeah.
And we all know he can be. Just let him do it. So I would like to see certain people that I feel like are getting underutilized on the main roster maybe go back to NXT just to help strengthen it a little bit, especially if you're going to be moving people up to Raw or SmackDown with the draft. Maybe move some other people back onto NXT just to help them. You know, maybe give them that spotlight or give them that time that they don't get on regular television, because here's the thing with NXT. Vince has no control over NXT. It's all Hunter, as far as we know, right?
For the most part, yeah, it's Hunter's vision, but you know, whenever Vince wants someone, Vince can have it.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the writing, in terms of the booking, in terms of the way everything is done with NXT, it's all Hunter.
It all goes through Hunter. All the decisions go through Hunter, yes.
So it's like, you could benefit from, you know, you have people who maybe aren't liked by Vince McMahon, or Vince McMahon doesn't understand them, and they're not really getting that chance on the main roster. You can take them back down to NXT and give them that chance.
It's quite possible, yeah.
So, that's my only thing. So we'll have to see where that goes.
Yes, yes, we do.
And we'll cover that probably on our draft special. We'll talk more about that, because I'm sure there will be more details by then.
We're doing a draft special?
Yes.
She's making executive decisions.
I'm making executive decisions. We are doing a draft special, because why the hell not?
Because why the hell not?
But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I agree with you, right? There.
But you have stuff to plug.
Yeah, I do, and we're going to get to that right here and right now. That means Saturday Night Midnight, this is another edition of The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual, CB Radio, where we'll talk about all the hashtag blame Rob moments, play some sort of game of some sort, maybe do more spelling bee, who knows, it's CB Radio, we'll give you the NHL update and so much more, live, Midnight-ish, CB Radio, hashtag Blame Rob, When a Celebrity Dies, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and Omega. They'll be previewing Money in the Bank. They may be reviewing the show we just talked about, NXT TakeOver. Who knows? It's Wrestle Talk Radio. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and vote in the all-time greatest. Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be recapping the go-home edition to Money in the Bank in New Orleans, which means maybe, possibly, it could be the return of...
Boo Boo. Bray Wyatt.
I was waiting for more excitement on that one.
I'm reserving myself because you keep teasing me about it, and he doesn't show up, and it's been a disappointment now for 2 weeks in a row, so maybe third time's a charm. We'll have to see, but yeah.
Teasing, teasing, frustration, teasing.
Yes. Somebody get my cult leader back on TV, damn it.
She needs it badly.
I do.
She's going through major withdrawal.
I've hit my peak with the withdrawal. I need my cult leader back.
She needs her fix.
I do. The network just isn't cutting it anymore.
We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter.com. Get us on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, search Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, I'm good.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the very fine sponsors, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, Gerwick.net, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!